Chapter number 5, Ephesians chapter number 5. We are going to be doing some turning in our Bibles this morning, but we're not going to go too far from this area. But we are going to have you turn and try to establish a little bit of a principle. And hopefully from this, the Lord will speak to our hearts about how we should love Him and be willing to give ourselves for Him as He gave for us, and the things that He loves, which He loves the church. So when we come to the spot, I love my church Sunday. I know I mentioned this last week in Sunday school, probably alluded to it last week in Sunday morning service. It's Christ's church. It belongs to the Lord. We say my church, and in fact, it's possessive, and the idea is where I go. But church doesn't belong to any of us. It's God's church. And you say, why is that important? It's because we want to do things God's way. We want the church to be exactly what God wants it to be. It's not about what I want, or it's not about what you want, or what we think and what we prefer. What does God want for us, and what is God desiring for us, and what does God want our church to look like? And the only way we can do that is by judging it based off the Word of God and His desires. And we looked at that last week quite a bit, and we looked at those different things about looking into the perfect law of liberty and being a mirror for us. So I'm excited about today because I'm excited about church. I'm excited about church because it belongs to the Lord and what God can do in our church, in our midst, because God can do all those things that He wants to do. And Lord, as we allow Him to, He can do them through us. And so as you go out there today and as you look and read those different hearts, I know different individuals wrote out different ones. I wrote out a few myself. And the one I specifically think is how we should feel individually also is, this is where God wants me, or this is where God sent me, or this is where I know God desires for me to be there. So I'm going to love it with all my heart. If this is where God wants me, if this is where God has planted me, I'm going to love it. I'm going to love it. I'm going to do whatever I can to, as we looked in Sunday school, to provoke, not in anger, but provoke one another in love and good works, as it talks about in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. That's my desire, is that as a church, we would exhort one another. You know, even more now as Christ's day is coming, it's coming sooner and sooner. We're living on the edge of eternity, and we need to learn how to live for Him. And it's not about the yesteryears. If you wasn't here for Sunday school class, I encourage you to listen to that and the importance of understanding that, yes, things were good in the past. And when you think about the 49 years that God's been good to us here, we're thankful for them and we honor those. But the same God that did wonderful things in the past, the same God that did wonderful things in the Bible and the Old Testament and New Testament and in the church age, He's still the same God today. He's the God that we serve today, and the future is as bright as God's promises, and that's if we would learn to live that way. So many times I hear people talk about, man, the glory days and how things were in the past, and I can only imagine what it'd be like to be a teenager or a child or in the 20s thinking, man, God made me in the wrong generation. No, God has us here today for a purpose and for a reason, and we must embrace God and what God can do and say, you know what? God did wonderful things for Moses and Joseph and Abraham and Joshua and those prophets. And look what He did in the first century church. He's the same God you serve today. And God, your future is exactly what God wants it to be. But we have to learn to allow God to work in our hearts and lives. And so my challenge in Sunday school this morning was, next year is going to be year 50. And we looked at Ezra, and there was a group of people that rejoiced when the foundation of the temple was laid, and the group of people that wept because of the fact that it wasn't as good as the first temple. And it was God had got their hearts right. They began doing what they were supposed to. The preacher preached them, got their hearts right. They laid that foundation, and they were excited. But there was a group saying, oh, it's not as good as it used to be. And it's next year. If you truly, I don't know what the exact date is, I'll have to look at that, but whatever day it is that we celebrate our 50th anniversary, you have the opportunity to be rejoicing because God worked in your heart this year. And that's what I'm saying in the next 360 some days. Let God work in your heart. So that way, when you come full circle another year 49 to year 50 in our church's life, that God, we would celebrate what God not only did years 1 through 49, but also from 49 to 50 because He did it personally. And I've been around big days all the time, and we have big days on purpose so that way we invite people to come because we want to be able to present the gospel, also show how we love our church and whatever the big day is. And some people get excited and they get involved and they see people come and they rejoice when people get saved, and others will walk around and say, I don't see what the big deal is. It's because they don't let God work in their hearts. Let God do something in your life so you have something to rejoice over. If you just come and play church and just check off the box, you're never going to be the one that's rejoicing. Instead, you're going to be the one scratching your head saying, I wonder why God's not working like he used to. If you let God work in your heart today, you know what it's going to be? Thank you, Lord, for doing something in my life today. And yes, God, I believe that you have a future that is planned, and you have a future for your church. You have a future for this church because you gave yourself for it. Let's look here in Exodus chapter 5, 25. We're going to set a principle here, and then we're going to look at different types of love that God has shown that's available to us through the church. I know February 14th is coming up, and I think it's on Wednesday, and we'll be preaching our Nick Psalms chapter number 5 on Wednesday, but I know Valentine's Day is something that people celebrate and all these other things, so we talk about love, and that's why the idea, I love my church, but we love the Lord, and we've been talking about loving the Lord from the Gospel of Mark with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. Ephesians chapter number 5 is a very short verse. Let's go ahead and read it together if you can. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let's read those last 5 words all together again. And gave himself for it. Christ gave himself for the church. He loved the church. Now, in this passage of scripture, you look at relationships between husbands and wives, and you see here in verse number 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. So I think it'd be important to understand how Christ loves the church. We don't have time to explain all that this morning, but we're going to look at 3 different main points to help us see how Christ loved the church. And yes, this is an encouragement to all the men. Love your wives this way. You say, I can't do that. You can through the Lord. But it's not just for the men in the room, but it's also for all of us in the room because we're being given an example. Look what it says in verse number 2. It's not as familiar of a verse, but it says here in verse number 2. Actually, we'll start in verse number 1, chapter number 5. It says, be therefore followers of God as dear, what's the next word? Children. So that's referring to men and women both, as dear children. Then it tells you, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. So he has a desire that we would walk in love, that we would walk in the type of love that Christ has loved us. Boy, that's big shoes to fill. But if he's asking us to do something, commanding us to do something with his spirit, we're going to be able to do it. And have given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So we see here, once again, it talks about how Christ gave himself. Now, this gives an idea of how what dying on the cross was about. It was not just some type of brutal explanation of what the Roman government could do to people. There was a sacrifice that was given, and it was given to God for a sweet-smelling savor, and that Christ was crucified on the cross for our sins. So that way we could have a way to heaven. That way we could be reconciled back to God. But I don't want to get too far in the message. Okay, let's go ahead and take our Bibles now to Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8. Romans chapter number 5, verse 8. If you're keeping notes, I would tell you the first point would be it was a demonstrated love. It was a demonstrated love. And I know we probably don't have to turn to this one. I know that probably most of us already know this passage of scripture. If you do not know this passage of scripture by heart, it's one of those verses that are used in the Romans road to demonstrate God's love for us. So when we're talking about gave himself for us, or Christ gave himself for the church, it was a love that was demonstrated. What good is it to have a love if you don't demonstrate it to someone else? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What the Bible is saying there is, don't just talk about loving someone. Do it in deed, meaning an action. Do it with truth. As if someone's saying, hey, I love you, but then they treat them badly. What they're doing is they're lying. They're being hypocritical. If they truly loved in person, it shows up in their actions. And when we discuss, I love my church. If you truly love your church, it's going to show up on how you treat your church. But Christ loved us, and he demonstrated that love. Look what it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That word commended gives the idea he demonstrated, he showed, he proved. This is what it looks like to love someone, is that it was a demonstrated love. So that's the first point. I know that was short. Don't get your hopes up, though. Point number two is coming. So point number two, it was a sacrificial love also. Sacrificial love. Take your Bible to Acts chapter 20. It's only a few pages back in verse number 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. This is the famous passage of scripture. Paul is headed to Jerusalem where he will be taken captive. And here he's got the church of the elders of Ephesus have come out, and he preaches an amazing message. And in it has my favorite verse, or my life verse, in Acts 20, verse 24. But verse 28 is an interesting verse, and it's something that helps us see and understand how much was sacrificed. It says in verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. Now, who is he speaking to? He's speaking to pastors of these churches over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. That's what the pastor's responsibility is, to oversee the ministries, is someone that was called of God to do that. It's not someone who's called by their mom, not someone who's called by their dad or their grandparents. You want a pastor who is called by God to oversee the ministry. And what's one of their responsibilities? To feed the church of God. Talking about that's one of their responsibilities, being an overseer, to preach the word of God, to feed the flock. Now, this next phrase, which he had purchased with his own blood. Purchased with his own blood. So if we're thinking of it as a sacrificial love, it's something you see he shed his blood for the church. He bought the church. It belongs to him. He died for the church. It was sacrificial. Let's look at this again also in Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Probably about 25 to 30 pages, maybe a little bit longer because of the Corinthians. But Philippians chapter number 2 shows you the sacrifice that he had made. Philippians chapter number 2. I know you're doing a little bit more turning than normal, but I think it's good that you see these things. I know most of you are familiar with your Bibles, and it's good to learn where passages is. It's to your right, Philippians chapter number 2. And it says in the Bible in Philippians chapter number 2, it gives the demonstration of what Christ, not only did he suffer physically, but what he had to lay aside to give himself for the church. So we see him physically shedding his own blood. Physically, he was nailed to a cross, but look at the sacrifice, what he was willing to give up because of his love that was demonstrated. It's a sacrificial love. We'll start in verse number 5. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, Christ was in the most exalted position of all the universe, the right hand of the Father, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. How can a person think it's not robbery to be equal with God? He has to be God. He is God. That's what we learned about Jesus Christ. He was God in the flesh, but made himself of no reputation. So when he came to this world, he did not give himself a reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Not only did he say, I'm not going to have any type of title that is registered to me. I'm not going to be born as a king this time and things like that. Instead, he says, I'm going to take on the form of a servant and continues on and was made in the likeness of men. Now to us, that doesn't sound that bad, but could you imagine being God, becoming a human, the creator, becoming his creation? One preacher puts it and he says, it's like us becoming an ant. And that's not even in comparison. He laid aside his glory to become his creation. And it's amazing what he was willing to give up. This is what he means. He gave himself for the church. He says, and took upon him the form of a man and was made in the likeness of man. And while even being as a man, which we don't think is that big of a deal, he says, but made himself of no reputation, but verse number 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbles himself. So taking that position, the most exalted position, making himself creation, he humbled himself. He didn't make himself the highest and greatest man. He humbles himself. Boy, if we're really truly going to love, we're going to have to humble ourselves sometimes. If we're going to truly love the Lord, we're going to have to humble ourselves. If we're going to truly love the things of God, we're going to have to humble ourselves. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. So you see these different steps, how he was the right hand of the Father and stepped down, 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 became a man. Not only become a man, he was a servant. Not only become a servant, he actually humbled himself unto death. And not just any death, it was the death of the cross. So he went from the most exalted position to the lowest spot on here on earth. A sacrifice means that he is giving of himself, and he's willing not only to have himself harmed physically by the shedding of the blood, but willing to humble himself. And then it says, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things of heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. So we see here that God's going to lift him up. Yes, he humbled himself. He did his purpose. Why? When he did this, he gave himself to the church. Let's take our Bibles now to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. There's only going to be two more passages that we're going to turn to, so stick with me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. So not only did he suffer physically, not only was he willing to lay aside certain things and humble himself to give himself for the church, but look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. It's a fascinating passage. We're not going to take a long time to describe it all, but I think you can get the understanding that goes along with this. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, look what it says in verse number 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now, you think about what is being said here. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is talking about the churches of Macedonia. It's talking about their gifts and how the grace of God has been reflected in their lives and how God was working in their heart, God was working in their life. And they were saying to the church of Corinth, pay attention here. This is something I want to see happen in your life too. And as he says here to them, he says in verse 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you've already experienced, you understand this. He says that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. Now, if we're going to give ourselves to something, or we're going to give ourselves to somebody, if we're going to give and show our love, remember, Christ gave himself for the church. And the commandment there was, husbands, give, you know, the same way to your wives. And in verse number 2, walk in the Christian life, Christian love as Christ did and gave himself. So these are principles to us that he was willing to suffer physically. He was willing to give of himself and his position. But it says he was rich, yet he became poor. Look at that sacrifice. He was willing to give all this up so that way we could become rich. And it's an amazing thought, what he sacrificed for us. Let's go, I'll take our Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, just back probably 3 pages or 2 pages, 2 Corinthians 5. And look what it says in verse number 17. We're going to read a few verses here. Remember, it was a sacrificial love. It wasn't just a demonstrated love, it was a sacrificial love. It says in verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So if you're in Christ, it means you're going to become a new creature. Old things are going to pass away. Behold, all things are going to be new. If you became a believer, if you put your faith and trust in God, there was a change that happened in your life. And all things of God who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He reconciled us. And then it continues on. And have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Not only have we learned to look, God reconciled us back through Jesus Christ. Now he's given us this ministry to help reconcile or show people how they can be reconciled back to God. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He's given us this word to tell people to be reconciled and talking about not putting their sins on their account because of what Jesus did. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Verse 21 is once again the sacrificial love that was made. Look what it says. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a powerful verse. The sins, Christ, who had never sinned, was willing to give himself for the church. Giving himself for the church means physically being, paying for the blood with the blood and leaving the glories of heaven, becoming poor so we could become rich. But he took our sin upon us. so we could have his righteousness. The sacrifice that was there. Now, you say, okay, that's wonderful, that's beautiful. Now, here's the thing is, how does that look in your life? Or is that the type of sacrificial love that we have? As he's saying, have that sacrificial love for our mates, for our church, for our God. Next thing I want you to think about, it was an unbreakable love. An unbreakable love. Go to Romans chapter number 8. And when we hear the words unbreakable, we think, that's probably Romans chapter 8. It's a familiar passage. Romans chapter 8, once again, not that many pages back to your left, the book of Romans chapter number 8, gives a description of the love of God. Romans chapter 8, look what it says in verse number 35. Great chapter of the Bible. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So who's going to separate us from this love? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, look at this, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at that. They're saying there's nothing that's going to be able to separate us from the love of Christ. And in verse 35, it talks about tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. And then you go over in verse number 38, and it talks about, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels or principalities or powers, things present, things to come, none of these things is going to be able to separate us from the love of God. Wow. So when Christ gave himself for the church, it was physically giving himself. It was humbly giving himself. It was sacrificially him giving himself. And he's saying, there's nothing that's going to ever change that. So when we consider our love for him, and when we consider our love for others, as it talked about in Ephesians 5, verse number 2, about walking in that love, we must learn that sometimes it's going to involve physical. Sometimes it's going to involve humbling ourselves. Sometimes it's going to involve being sacrificial. And there should not be things that change this. Now, are there times when we don't treat God right? Yes. Does he still love us? The answer is yes. So this I Love My Church Sunday, if Christ loved his church this much, should we not also love it too? And if you do not know what it means to be born again, do not know what it means that he took our sins upon him so we could have his righteousness. We'd love to show you from the Bible how a person can be saved. The Bible tells us that we're all sinners, that we're all in need of a Savior. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. And once again, that word loved. He loved the world. What did he do? He gave. He sacrificed. He gave his only begotten Son. This morning, our challenge to our church family is love God this way. Yes, sometimes it's going to mean that I had to give physically. And sometimes, often, it means I'm going to have to humble myself. And sometimes it's going to mean that I had to give a sacrifice. And I should not allow things to affect or change me. I should keep my eyes on the Lord. And I should want to love him this way. And if I love him this way, then I'm going to want to love others that way because he loves others. He loves his church. He was willing to give himself for the church. We should also be willing to give ourselves for him. And in retrospect, also to our church, but not just that, he loved those that were lost and he gave himself to the lost. We also should love those that are lost and be willing to give ourselves to the lost. And when we think about I love my church, many of the reasons, if you go by and read all those different things, it's because someone sacrificed in different ways, in different forms. They did it gladly. You hear about the music program. You know, something happens to make the music program happen. They don't just get up there and sound that good. They work at it. And there is a sacrifice. You know, I remember there was someone that invited my mom to church and took a little girl to church. She got saved. And from that, I got to go to church and met my mom, made sure I was in church every week. Same thing with my dad. A neighbor went down the street. Is a little bit of inconvenience taking a little boy to church? Probably so. It takes a little bit of work and effort. But, you know, from that, he got saved and he made sure I was in church too. There was sacrifice that was involved. And then we asked this last week, and I hope you spent some time thinking about it. After considering the sacrifice that Christ gave us in Philippians chapter number 2, what really is sacrifice? And when is the last time we truly sacrifice for the Lord? We say, hey, I love my church or I love God. When's the last time that we really gave ourselves of basic, normal things to hear from God, to truly love the Lord? And I'm thankful for the many sacrifices that happen around here that make things happen. Someone was here this morning before me making chicken and dumplings. Very, very rarely does anybody ever get here before me on a Sunday morning. But there was people here this morning before I was. And sometimes Brother Christian beats me here by a minute or two. But very rarely, and there was somebody here sacrificing to make food today. And once again, they said, well, it doesn't seem like a sacrifice. They enjoy doing it. It's because you love your Lord. Jesus, what he did wasn't because someone forced him to, wasn't because God the Father said, you must go. No, he loved him. And that's what he says, gave himself for it. So today, this morning, how much do you love God? If you really truly love him, what is it that he's asking from you? What sacrifice? And sometimes we like to figure out, oh, I could do this, I could do that. Let God take care of that. Because if it's something that's easy and convenient, yes, sometimes that's what he wants. But that's not sacrifice. That widow, when she cast in her two mites, was a beautiful example we looked at a couple weeks ago on Sunday morning. But she gave of her daily needs. She sacrificed. She was willing to give it all that she had. For that day, she gave it all that she had because she loved God. He gave himself for it. I read that verse as a husband and I'm thinking, boy, I'm a failure in a lot of ways because I need to demonstrate my love. I need to be a sacrificial love. And it needs to be an unbreakable love. Even when my wife does something that I don't really enjoy, doesn't mean that it changes my love for her. Now, of course, she would never do anything I don't enjoy, right? But I'm thankful for that he gave himself for us, for the church. We should give ourselves back to him. It is a reasonable sacrifice. So today, do you demonstrate your love? Is it a sacrificial love? Is it an unbreakable love? Let's go ahead and have everybody bow their head and close their eyes for a time of prayer.